Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guns.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this soundtrack.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, I copy guidance.
Okay,
we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot del H. I'm going around the horn. Make your go-no-goes based on the data you have for an LOS. I see we got it back. Give me another few seconds.
We're yelling fine.
Okay, retro.
Go.
Fido.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Ecom.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom. We're go to continue. PDI.
Coming to you live from the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country in Shingle Springs, California, this is your host, John Almada.
Good evening, and I probably sound like I'm a little bit in a bit of a hole here, and I'm on this Skype phone. We had a little bit of snow here in the Sierra, and it's melted off now, but a little bit of a storm here in Northern California, and things are a little bit cold, so I got home off work and got home to the studio and decided I did not want to freeze my patootie off, so I decided to come into the second studio, and my Skype phone, has a problem with the handset. So I'm hoping everyone can hear me. If some folks in the chat room can be graceful and give me an indication that you can hear me, I sure would appreciate it. I do see, Sharon, good to see you. And I see Karen from Phoenix, Arizona out there. And hey, Tasper's Frank, another Arizona friend, hey guy. And we got a Bigfoot investigator. I believe in Bigfoot, man. I've got family who's seen that thing. And we got to do a show about that again. We always get really good things going on when we have a show about Bigfoot. But tonight, we're going to have Gusset Hunter Paranormal on. Hey, good. Thanks, Kara. Appreciate that. And we're going to have Gusset Hunter Paranormal, a gentleman with a whole lot of experience in this field. His name is Ellis Bird. He's from Swindon, England, and he has 27 years doing this. Just a little bit about him. He was born in Swindon, England in 1965. Has had many paranormal experiences over his life, and the first memorable one was when he witnessed a young man standing in the center of a county road and then disappear. So that's a good thing. And yeah, I know, I'm sorry about that, Sharon. I got kind of screwed up on the Skype phone. I was going to put it to my ear, and it's just, I don't know, something's really weird with it. But I am going to do a little bit of a changeover to the cell phone at the half-hour break, so you'll hear me a little better, guys. But I promise to talk closer into the microphone. And thank you all for being here tonight. Just a little bit of news about GRI. Hey, we're going to be going out to the Truckee Hotel for our second visit in 2 weeks tomorrow. I've got two of my team members, and part of his family are actually going, so we're going to have a family hunt up in the haunted Truckee Hotel, and I recommend that place to anybody who is in the immediate vicinity of Reno. or in Northern California, or as some of you are from Nevada or Arizona. It's a great place to go. Definitely haunted. A lot of tragedies have occurred in that hotel, including, of all people, a shirt-tail relative of mine was shot there. So we definitely want to go back and see what we can pick up there. One of the rooms where there was an actual murder, we did get an immediate playback on EVP. We got a woman's voice speaking to us in the room. And that was Renee Martin was with us at that time, and she's down in Los Angeles right now. But she did get that evidence, and I've got to get her to send me that recording, because that was a really good one. But we do know the place is extremely haunted. There's the second, third, and fourth floors all have activity. And this hotel, I believe, dates back to the 1850s. So, we had a knock here in the house, so I think we had somebody let me know they're listening in on the show. As many of you know, I live on a haunted ranch myself, so we're definitely looking forward to going to that particular locale, and hopefully it won't be so snowy that the poor the GRI Mustang will be knocked out of commission, but we're going to give it our college try. So that said, we'll go ahead and get into the standard news here, and I'm kind of on one laptop here. Oh, thank you, Bigfoot Investigator. I got you. You sound great. Thanks a lot, man. So let's see what we have for news. There's something coming up on Animal Planet as of November 22nd at 10 o'clock, the premiere of The Haunted. And it's basically has to do with animals that pick up hauntings. And I know my cats here on the property react to the different ghosts that do come in around the place, and definitely track them and sometimes even chase things that we don't see. But here the article, this is on, again, one of my favorite sites, theexaminer.com in San Francisco. And the article is The Haunted TV Series on Animal Planet Premieres After Halloween. And it says here, do animals have a sixth sense? Does your dog perk his ears seconds before a door mysteriously slams shut in the room next door? If you think your dog can sense the netherworld where others cannot, the two of you will want to tune into Animal Planet's new series, The Haunted, premiering, as I said, November 22nd at 10 p.m. So I'm going to put it to the chat room. How many of you have dogs and cats and other animals who perhaps have picked up the presence of things that are unseen? And let's see if maybe a few of you can get talking about some of that while I'm continuing on here. But definitely would be interesting to hear if any of you guys have got stuff going on where your dog or cat does your thing. And oh my goodness, the Virgin phone just credited me 1,000 minutes. So yes, I will be able to dial in and sound a lot better. So I got that. That's great. How timely, right during the show. I get 1,000 minutes, free minutes a month off my Virgin wireless phone. So that's going to be great. And by the way, I just wanted to say a special hello to Karen, who's on here, Karen's Dream. And she was up here, drove all the way up from Phoenix to hunt with me, and we did get some great EVP activity when we were out at the Pioneer Cemetery in Coloma. We are going to be doing a public hunt at that particular location. On the 28th at 11 o'clock in the morning, and a two-hour hunt, and then we're going to go off and spend an hour at a local restaurant and toast ourselves for being great investigators. So I think it'll be a fun thing, and teach a little EVP to people who have never done it. So we're kind of moving in some new directions and have a good time with that. And Karen says, yep, good time. So, and it was a treat having her here with us, and she really liked the home cooking here. We just wanted everybody to know, if you do want to come up to the GRI Haunted Ranch, there's good cooking for all. So, if you definitely want to come out, give us a yell, and we'll feed you really well here, okay? Anyway, so we were talking about the this series, The Haunted, and I guess they're focusing mostly on dogs, but they're going to be doing a classic investigation and basically talking about dogs affected by evil demons, families that hired an exorcist to take care of this animal and try to deal with this situation. Profiled are a mother and father who are shocked to find blood smeared on their child's wall shortly after their dog exhibits bizarre behaviors. And they have a team that especially dedicated to this whole particular series that then works with these animals. So I think that this is going to be interesting. I just wish, since I'm a cat person myself, that we would have cats. Bigfoot investigator, you want to know where I'm at? I'm in Shingle Springs, California. We're 9 miles from where gold was discovered in the in Coloma. So all through this area is our gold mining areas, and we are actually on a gold mining claim right ourselves here. And there was actually many little homes right on our ranch, and people are buried here on the property. And so we've had a lot of interesting things happen here over the years: shadows, full apparitions, knocks like I just had in the house here, very routine for us. EVPs galore. The works. So yes, it's definitely haunted, but they're pretty friendly, except we got one guy who's a bit of a curmudgeon, if you will, but I get that everywhere. Anyway, so that's going to be something I recommend everybody get out there and take a look at The Haunted. Want to hear what people think about that, when you we go on to the next show next week. So just caught tonight on, since GRI is a family member of Ghost Adventures crew, and we were really amazed at some of the stuff that's been going on with Zach and the boys, and they've been doing some really neat cases. And they went out tonight, I watched this, they went out to the Ohio State Reformatory, and they did the standard whole thing with going out there and, picking a fight with these ghosts, and they didn't even get 5 seconds in, and all their batteries were drained on their equipment, which I was just amazed at. Evidently, this particular reformatory was where they put the worst of the worst. And if these people would not accept the attempts at reforming them, they would be locked into solitary confinement, and that would be pretty much the end of it for them for a long time. So they definitely have some strange things that go on there. Women and older people are accosted when they are inside this facility. And evidently, Zach took, as usual, took exception to that and challenged them. And they were immediately rewarded with battery draining activity. They had a girl in there who volunteered to go in and face this down. And what ended up happening was there was hair pulling on her. She was, there were many EVPs calling out her name. Her name was Sarah. And so I was pretty impressed with what they had go down on that particular episode. But Bagans here, Zach says, I think it's the most haunted prison we've ever been to. We take a very raw and real approach to paranormal research. We don't take big camera crews following us around. We look for evil spirits inflicting harm on the living. And we tell people that they're not crazy. We take this very seriously, and it's a real thing with real dangers, which I totally agree. As many of you know, we are not so into provoking ourselves, although we're members of the GAC family, but we're not that kind of a group. We tend to be more kind of treat them a little bit nice. Light provoking, if you will, if we sense that they're there but they're not talking, we'll say, hey, we know you can do better than that, come on, and kind of try to pull them out a little bit. So that is one of the things that's happening with these guys. They're doing some amazing stuff. We did, when we were up on the hunt over at the Truckee Hotel, I did tape the 6-hour Ghost Adventures crew live hunt, and I'm almost all the way through it, and they were at the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, and we're going to be actually having, just so you know, I'm in contact with them, and I have been for some time, the folks that run Trans-Allegheny, and we are going to be having them on the show. I was going to have them on in September, but I turned up with that H1N1 virus, which, oh my God, you do not want this. So we are going to have them on and talk a little bit about their experiences. And one of our listeners, Brenda, whose name here on Blog Talk is Learner, she has been talking with me back and forth. So she's a real valued friend, and we're going to be getting that all set up, and I hope to have them on probably in January. Some other news coming up for us, we're going to be very likely after Christmas, I will be traveling down to possibly with a second crew member from GRI down to the Armagosa, I think it's the Armagosa Opera over in Death Valley at Death Valley Junction. And so we're going to be out there hunting with Maury. Maury Moots, I think is her name. Maury's a real nice lady. I met her on the USS Hornet. She runs a really nice outfit out of Las Vegas. And just it's a pretty short hop and a skip for her to get to Death Valley. So we're going to put the GRI Mustang in gear and head down there for December. But that'll probably be it for us for investigations for the month, mostly trying to catch up with our evidence. We're going to go into lockdown and threaten everybody with pizzas and tape and pencils and pads and see what kind of catch up we can get on all our evidence. And I challenge my good buddy Sharon over at Journey Paranormal to join us so we can help each other, because she's in the same boat I am. She has an extreme amount of evidence, and this poor lady, I'm not sure if she ever got her video analyzed from the last Hornet investigation we were on in July. But that was a really great hunt, and I'll tell you what, if you ever want to go on a great investigation and you're in Southern California or you're on one of the Northern California hunts that Sharon runs, she does a great job. So, you know, kudos to her. She's well-connected throughout that particular part of the state, and she knows all the great places. So I've been trying to get down to hunt with her for some time, and I will get my butt down there, and hopefully we'll hook up and have a good time. Perhaps maybe on the way back, I don't know, maybe I can work a deal with her. Maybe on the way back I can stop in and we can see her coming back from the Death Valley mission. So we'll see what we can come up with. But anyway, that the clock is ticking, and the atomic clock here says 8:17 on the 20th. It's already November 20th, and I'm looking at the, I don't know about some of you who run your own organizations, but I am looking very hard at doing the top 10 EVPs that we've ever gotten for 2009. So we're going to be really reviewing kind of everything and pulling the best stuff out for everyone. What date was that you were on that investigation? That was July 11th on my birthday. You remember you got me the cake? I turned 50, and I was in the best place you could ever be. I was on the USS Hornet on my birthday, 50th birthday, and they got me the biggest darn cake, and it was one of the better birthday parties I've ever had in my life. And I want to thank Sharon again for making a special memory for me there. That was really cool. So we had a great time and an awesome investigation. And I met I met a friend who Sharon knows who that is, who's turned out to be a very good friend here. Him and I have actually just been recently gone hunting over in just north of Roseville. We went actually out hunting UFOs, so we had a good time doing that. And he's going to be with us on the hunt here tomorrow when we go up to the Truckee Hotel. So that is a lot of what's going on. In February, by the way, the other announcement is we're going to go back to Sunday evenings. I'm finding these Friday night shows are great, except for one thing. I get off work, and I'm really tired at the end of the day after I put in, you know, a long day, and then I go to do this show, and I have no time to do the notes. So we're going to do that. Sharon, any luck on what? I'm not sure what you're asking me on that, but go ahead and type in what you say, any luck on what. Oh, on UFOs. Oh, yes. Well, we found an abandoned, if you want to know, we found an abandoned Titan I missile silo, which is in the town of Lincoln. And we were able to actually get somewhat onto the facility. And we're going to be working on trying to actually get into the facility to get a tour. And I'm going to run EVP sessions there. But there were actually UFO reports by my very own family, who lived very close to this this particular the Titan One base. It was right across the street from them. And so I actually did a show about this particular case with my mother, who did an, I interviewed her at the kitchen table and then uploaded that to this show and played it back. And it was really something. There was from the period of about 1957, when the base was put into the deactivation of the that particular silo in 1964, there were regular UFO visits there that were none of the local police or anybody would talk about it. And it's a very well-known case in the area. And so we are, I'm doing my best to try to kind of bring it back to life. And before some of these people pass on who were there, I want to find out more about that. Oddly enough, our neighbor in that area, and I was actually physically present as an infant there when this was going on. My mother had just brought us out from Texas. And I was actually there. But our next door neighbor, neighbors, the Bacon family, had young child by the name of Kevin Bacon, who you might know, who was living next door to us. So my mother actually knew Kevin Bacon as a kid, so he was out there, and we wonder if he actually knows anything about this case. So hopefully one of these days I'm going to write a letter to him and see if I can get a response, and see if we could, who knows, I might get to meet Kevin Bacon as a result of all this. But anyway, let's see, 8:21, we got a little bit of time left, and then I'm going to go to music at 8:25 and try to dial in, and then I'm going to make some adjustments here so we can hear better. Let's see, what else have we got on the docket here? By the way, for those of you who are going to be in the area, on the 28th, of November, we're going to have, again, I probably said it before, but I'll reiterate this. We're going to be 11 o'clock in the morning. We're going to have our public hunt. And just so that folks who are listening who are in the area that may want to stop by, look for the red GRI Mustang at the Pioneer Cemetery in Coloma, and it's on Cold Springs Road. So you'll see us out there, and I'll kind of wait a while before we really get started, so give everybody a chance to show up. We've already had some emails from people interested in coming out. Got a couple of guys from work going to come out, so it'll be fun, but any and all are welcome. I'll give a presentation about hunting in the paranormal, safety, how to use your recorder, that kind of thing, how to work your evidence, and then we'll actually turn them loose and see what they pick up out there. And Karen and I had some interesting experiences out there here last week. It was we had some immediate responses. We tried the kind of a new technique for us, which was to actually do EVP and then stop and then play it back and listen and see what we were getting. And we were both getting things going on, although Karen had a poor time with her recorder because she had it in AVR, automatic voice recorder mode, so she was getting problems with it. But she did overcome that, and I hope she got some stuff when she got back, and I've got to talk to her about that. But we are going to be going through some of that evidence, and I hope to have some to play for you next week, and some of the better stuff we got from that investigation. So, we're going to have a good time next week, and whoever wants to come out with us. And I am going to keep an eye out for Ellis. He's going to be with us soon. Let me see if I see him in the switchboard here. He's not here yet. I am going to read a little bit about these guys at Gusset Hunters. Their page, by the way, just to give them a little bit of press here, www.myspace.com/GussetHuntersParanormal, and that's G-U-S-S-E-T Hunters Paranormal. So definitely check that out. They've got a lot of videos. And so these guys look serious. They've been at it since about 2007, just about the time we were getting started. But they've got quite a crew, and I think that they've got some really talented people working for them. But they're using MySpace for a lot of their stuff. And, with Ellis having 27 years in the business, I think we're going to get a real treat listening to this gentleman. And he's English, so naturally they will know so much about ghosts, won't they? So, let's see, how's the chat? Bigfoot investigator, so should not one use automatic voice mode? Well, it was a real problem because she didn't know, she did not know that that was the case, and she was hoping that we would, she would have more going on there than she picked up. So it was really not a good thing to be doing. You want the recorder running on high quality, if you can, mode so that you can get the best evidence. So pretty much standard rule is no, don't use AVR. And we've got one caller in. I'm going to take a brief moment to play some music while I get dialed in on my cell phone that is now has enough time on it to be able to do what I need to do. So we're going to switch briefly to a little bit of music, and I'm in honor of our friend, Bigfoot investigator, I'm going to play the Bigfoot Boogie. So this is Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio, and we'll be signing on with the next bit of me dialing in with a better phone, and we'll take it from there. Here we go.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side with me, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. Well, the party they gonna have out in the St. John's Falls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and they called it the Bigfoot Stomp. Sasquatch dancing around the two Bigfoot boogie in the fairly ground. Eddie the Lizard, he a beating the drums, and Moccasin Jaws, he's a running his gun. Stan the Snake, he's a playing the bass, and he'd a be partying all over the place. Oh, get a ride, beat a rodney bow, and he'd a be jamming with Moccasin Joe. A Sasquatch doing a brand new dance. Bigfoot boogie in the fairy land. Do the Bigfoot boogie. Yeah, the Bigfoot boogie. Ain't nothing but a Sasquatch dancing around it. Do the Bigfoot boogie in the fairy ground. Yeah, boy. Sound with a whole lot of noise, something shaking the ground. I crept in the swamp where they were getting down. Do the Bigfoot boogie in the fairly ground. Do the Bigfoot boogie. Oh, yeah, the Bigfoot boogie. Doing the Bigfoot boogie in the St. John's Walls. The Eddie and Lizzie be beating the drums. Yeah, the Moccasin George, he's running his gun. Stan the Snake, he's a playing. Partying all over the place, yeah. Oh, get a ride, beat a rod and a bow, and eat a beat jamming with Moccasin Joe. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, it's called the Bigfoot Boogie in the Fairy Land. Do the Bigfoot Boogie, doing the Bigfoot Boogie, chomp, chomp, yeah, the Bigfoot Boogie in the St. John's Wall.
Cave, and I am back on the air, and I'm going to have to stand a little bit away from the phone because of the situation tonight. I hope we have Ellis Bird on.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello, Ellis. Welcome aboard.
Well, thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. And, a little bit of technical troubles here. We had a little bit of snow in the Sierra, and I had to kind of move the studio around, but we're making it work. I'm not going to be able to do a little bit of close proximity to the console because of some of the phone issues we're having, but I am able to do the show here the way we're working it. So, hey, welcome aboard, and I'm going to grab the show notes real quick. And but the way I'm having to do this is not the norm for me, so I do apologize, my friend. But, hey, welcome, and tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Gusset Hunters, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, okay. Well, my name's Ellis Bird. I'm the co-founder of Gusset Hunters Paranormal with Nicole Wallace, and we're out of Columbus, Ohio. And myself, I've been involved in this field for a very long time. Back in my earlier days when I was a kid, back in Britain, I used to live very close to Stonehenge. And we would have all sorts of paranormal activity all around us, you know, in that sort of area. And for a while there, I lived in Pluckley. And if you ever watched, like, Ghost Hunters International, they did a whole show from Pluckley in England, from the village. So, you know, there's been a lot of activity. The first experience I had was when I was a kid. I was about six, and we witnessed a man stood in the middle of the road on the way back from my nan's house. And my dad stops the car, of course, and waits for the guy to get out of the road, you know? And he wouldn't get out the road. So the dad hits on the full beams, just, you know, the headlights, to say, yeah, sort of, you know, get out of the way. And he just sort of vaporized. And that that was my very first experience when I was a kid. And I didn't bring it up for years. But when I did finally bring it up one day, they both my parents said, yeah, we saw a ghost that night. So that was my very first experience. But, you know, Gusset Hunters Paranormal formed from Nicole Wallace and myself. We took a trip to Moundsville, which is in West Virginia. It's a prison down there. And it's known for its famous photograph of the Shadow Man. If you ever know that one.
I think I've heard of this, yes.
Yeah, right. All the big TV shows have been there trying to debunk the Shadow Man photograph, and it's all over the internet. So we go down there just to do the historical tour. It's about 11 o'clock, you know, in the morning. And we're walking around, and for whatever reason, we end up losing Nicole. She's all got left behind. And once we realized she was gone, it was like, well, all right, well, we better go find her. So we go back into the prison because we were in the courtyard. We go back into the prison, and she's staring in the window of the kitchen. And I call. She doesn't react, you know, doesn't react. Go over, actually tap her on the shoulder, and she still doesn't move. Finally coming around and saying, did you see that? And long story short, she saw a large black mass in the kitchen behind the plexiglass come out of the ground, go up to about 8 to 10 feet tall, walk in front of one of those giant freezers, you know, like you have in hotels and, you know, restaurants, walked in front of the freezer door, and then sucked back down into the floor. And, you know, like she told, you know, like she says, her reaction would be she should be scared. But she wasn't. She wanted to learn more. So that tour continued on, and we told the tour guide, and they sort of laughed it off. I'd snapped two photographs of this big glowing red ball in another room. Once we get done, we come back, we speak to the people at the front desk, and they said, well, we think you witnessed the Shadow Man. And my two photographs are now in the book. At it's called the Moundsville Reformatory Ghost Book. So it was quite a good day for paranormal activity, and we just decided at that point, you know, she wanted to learn more, and I'm always up for learning more. So we formed this little group.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like the stuff that so many groups I've run into, that, you know, they just go in and, you know, the curiosity gets you know, going, and then they have these experiences, they can't figure it out, and they want to know more. And that sounds really a lot like you know, things I've heard in the past with people that have these extraordinary things. But you hit the jackpot, my friend. I mean, you know, doing what you did, I mean, that doesn't always happen on a first time out. I mean, that's like, yeah.
No, to be honest with you, the only reason we were in West Virginia was we were going dog racing, greyhound racing, you know, bet on the dogs, and it was just something to do. Now, I've got a background in this. You know, I never really pursued it that much, you know, until that point. But yeah, I must admit, the Gusset Hunters Paranormal is made up of two people, me and Nicole. And we've been together for about 3 years now as a group. Mm. And there's a reason for that. You know, and if you think about it, you know, you have a group. Lots of people have groups. But we've started to notice that the more members you have, the harder it is to schedule everybody on the same dates.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know that. Oh, yeah.
Did I hit a nerve?
Oh, God, no. It's like herding cats. And we've got a good buddy of mine, Sharon, from Journey Paranormals on in the chat room. And I guarantee you she's laughing right now. Yeah. You got it.
So what we have, we've done it on purpose. We've done it on purpose. We kept it at me and Nicole. Okay, we've had so many requests, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, because in Ohio, we're not the biggest group, we're not the most well-known group, but we're very popular, and we do some amazing things here. So we have actually formed splinter groups off of our own group. You know, a group will come on one of our tours or something and then form up from there. And, you know, we're big into training, too. We try to train all these groups, too. So that's one thing. Another thing is when you're investigating a building and there's only two of you, for me, when I check the EVPs, the recorders, I know our voices. So if I hear
a
third
voice, yeah.
If I hear a third voice, I know, hey, there's two people in the building, me, I talk funny. You know, Nicole talks like a girl, and if it's an American-speaking man, there's something going on, you know. You know what I mean? So that also helps out, too. And it also helps with the general communication of what you're going to do. You know, we don't have to spend a time trying to get everybody, you know, make sure everybody's on the same page and everything's going along that way, too. So that's why we kept it small. We have, like I said, this other, like, splinter groups that come off of us and form their own groups and their own names. So, you know, that's good, too.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, we follow a real similar paradigm. You know, tomorrow I'm going to the Truckee Hotel, which is near Reno, Nevada. It's just across the state line here in California. And we are only going to use three investigators. I try to hold it down to a maximum of four if possible, and then I break the team up into twos. So you're doing basically what we do. It makes it just so much easier on the evidence analysis and the contamination factor, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, like, tomorrow myself, I'm heading up to Lima, Ohio. And you're out in California, so you probably don't know any of these places I'm mentioning. But we're going to the Argonne Hotel, which is a very old, huge, huge hotel. And I have a lady, Shelley Mooney, and her father used to own this place. They're going to come along with us. But when this investigation starts, it's going to be me and those two guys. And that's it. You know, yeah, you really got to limit. The place is huge, but still, contamination's huge for us, you know.
How do you hunt? Are you more just lightweight gear, or do you tend to take you know, some of the bigger stuff and then, you know, throw a lot of video up and that kind of thing? Or
we have the video, we have all that gear, but I don't like to use it that much. We like the lightweight stuff. We have two attaché type cases. Stainless steel cases packed with all the cell sensors and K2s and just the basic easy handling equipment, lots of video cameras, lots of digital cameras, stuff like that, stuff that, you know, we can actually get a good reading right off the bat. I've set up the whole gear a few times, but it takes so long to do. Sometimes you have technical problems. I prefer just to use like what you call the lightweight stuff.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I mean, I've got a four-channel DVR, and I've used it a couple of times, you know, for private investigations. But you know, we mostly do field work like you do. You know, we go out there to these places that are public or tend to be just outdoors. Or our ruins, things like that, because of our gold hunting type places. We, you know, I'm like 9 miles from where gold was discovered here in 1849. So we get a lot of that kind of thing. But we just find that kind of we call it guerrilla hunting. You know, we try to hunt, just keep it down to only what we can carry in our hands, and just go with our feelings. You know, and see what we get.
A perfect example, because I'm with you on that 100%. Because I'm a tour guide. Well, the Gusset Hunters Paranormal are tour guides for the Bisman Building in Mansfield, mm-hmm. Ohio. And again, we can talk about this a bit later. We can set up all these cameras and, you know, sit there all night looking at it. But I've got so much more evidence on a handheld recorder and a video camera.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I just seem to get more. Better stuff that way. So yeah,
yeah.
I've seen groups have it. We have groups come through with it, and they have great success with it. But like you said, I think it's all personal. You know, how
I agree.
You feel about it. You know.
Yeah, it's just much more. You know, we tend to be very natural with the spirits we run into, and we talk to them like they're almost like family, or good friends, and that seems to bring them out.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, good example of that. I know Shelley Moon is listening because she just messaged me. But like her friend Amy Lake and all those guys, they come to these haunted Bisman Building tours, and they're quite amazed that I will stand in the pitch dark and talk to these people like they're really there. You know, but we've been doing this for so long. In essence, I just picked up a couple good photographs today that they actually are there, but just not in our form, you know. I think, and I do another radio show on a regular basis out of New York City, and the guy that runs that show has a similar philosophy. He also thinks that if you can win the trust, especially if you go to the place on a regular basis, if you can win the trust of these entities, sometimes they do come out on command. And
I agree.
You know, with the Bisman Building, we on a regular basis now can get yes no answers on K2 and cell sensors by just saying, hey, this is Ellis, who's in the room, and let's talk, and it happens.
Yeah, that's so much like what we get. We've got we don't do provoking at all, and we've got places that we repeatedly hit. We don't just hit a case and, you know, check it off a list and that's it. We go back and develop relationships with the spirits that are there. And I introduced one of our listeners, Karen, is on, and she was up here with me hunting from. She drove all the way up from Phoenix, Arizona. Drove up, and I introduced her to a spirit that actually it was in a graveyard. Pioneer Graveyard, William Madison Palmer, who's a famous rancher out here. And I introduced him to her, and we played the EVP back, and he said on the EVP, pleased to meet you. Very nice to meet you. He's a very nice guy. And I friend, here it is. It's so weird to say that. You're friends with dead people.
right. Well, there's a case we have. And you're going to keep hearing me say this throughout the show. It's the hauntedbismanbuilding.com, www.hauntedbismanbuilding.com.
Good.
We have taken down the regular page because we're trying to get more bandwidth because we got some amazing stuff. So it will go to the MySpace, okay?
Uh-huh.
You can see some pictures, some images, everything on there. But you're going to start to notice there's a lot of stuff from a little girl called Ruthie. Over the last 2 years of us going in there, when we initially went into this building, right?
Yeah.
The owner, Ben Bisman, thought, ghosts were silly and ridiculous and dumb. You know, they have a small print shop in this five-story warehouse built in 1886. And but he kept hearing things, you know, like tools would drop on the floor and box sounded like boxes dragging, people walking around. Well, over time, he called us in because his employees were working one day. One of them turns around and sees a lady in a white Victorian dress stood at the end of the hallway. She turns and goes out of sight. Well, that freaked him out. Now, these are some hardcore guys. These are, you know, these, you don't mess around with these guys in real life. But they were terrified. They were definitely scared. So Ben called us in. Now, we're about an hour and a half away from Mansfield, Ohio. But we came in. And over the 2 years we've been there, we've built this story from EVPs, where we've actually picked up people's names. Like I said, we actually had a two and a half hour cell sensor K2 yes-no session. With multiple choice questions.
Oh, my God.
And some of it's on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and you type, it's not good footage because the guy that put it on there didn't put it on night vision, unfortunately. But you can go to YouTube and type in Bissman, B-I-S-S-M-A-N. And there's about a 10, 15-minute yes-no session on there. It was done by the Eyes of the Paranormal, which is a group out of Ohio. And they also on their site have the rest of the videos on their site. They're supposed to be putting them on YouTube. I'm not sure if they've done them yet. And there's actually we 2.5 hours towards the end. This is John, right? I'm talking to John, right?
Yeah.
Towards the end, we ran out of questions. You know what I mean? We just ran out. We were just thinking, well, what more can we ask? But the story in general is there's a couple of horrific things happened in that building in the early 1900s. There was a little girl there called Ruthie that lived. Her family owned the building. And what happened was, this is the story, and it said she was raped and murdered by somebody in the building.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
We think a guy by the name of F.W. Simon was either witness to it or confided in the little girl beforehand. You know, he knew what was going on. So what ended up happening, we think it could be, and again, we're going off a 2.5 hour session here. We think that F.W. Simon knew about it. He got involved. He got into a big fight, an argument with management. And we know that because we've had some very somewhat famous mediums come through there.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, I'd sooner not say their names, but, you know, some pretty, pretty well-known people. And they all say there's an argument going on in this room between a black guy and a white man. They're fighting. You know, so that's good. It's all starting to build a story. Well, what ends up happening is, this is just folklore and what we've picked up. Ruthie gets murdered. Somebody knows it happens. F.W. Simon gets into an argument. He goes to the top floor of the building. He graffitis his name on the wall. It's still written on the wall. It's if you go to, like I said, the Bissman Building page, you can actually see the graffiti, which he wrote in 1911 on the wall. He gets on the elevator. He's coming down. Now, this is a freight elevator. This isn't like a regular modern-day elevator. It's one of those that the door opens up and down instead of side to side like they do now.
Yeah.
And it's all open. It's like just a cage. He sticks his head out on the third floor to say, yeah, goodbye. This is the room, the story, to one of his buddies. He goes to hit the stop button to stop the elevator. He misses the button, and gets decapitated on the third floor.
Oh, my God.
His head then, as it's still going down, of course, he is now a corpse laying inside the elevator. His head falls down onto the second floor and rolls out onto the floor. Now, there is articles to prove that, this stuff sort of happened, but it's great because when you get these top-end median psychics come in, they pick up on all this stuff. So, as story goes on, we are asking questions for 2.5 hours, and we come to find out it may not have been an accident that F.W. Simon died.
Oh, yeah, right.
And Ruthie, the little girl that was giving yes-no answers on these YouTube videos, said that she's buried in the basement.
Oh, boy.
So at this moment, and we went to the family plot and the Bisman building, the Bisman family is a very big family, and they own a huge burial plot, and they've got all the children in the family all in line, and there's one spot missing. There's only one, nobody in a grave, no headstone, no nothing.
Oh, so it was like a pre-reserved set of plots, and that one's just never been used.
Never got used because they don't know where she is.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So the story has it is, and we're asking on the K2s, whatever, who's the lady in the white? Who's the lady? We don't know who she is. And on a previous recording on an EVP, I had picked up in one of the rooms somebody whispering into my recorder saying, Annabella.
Annabella. Okay.
I asked Ben Bisman, the owner of the building, who Annabella was. He got a little emotional and said that was his great-great-grandmother. And I had no clue who it was, So the story's building. We asked Ruthie, why is Annabella here? And basically, long story short again, she's trying to get the attention of somebody to come look in the basement to find the little girl. And Annabella looks after the 8-year-old Ruthie in the spirit world, protects her.
Oh, so now Ruthie is basically earthbound then. She has not crossed. She's aware she's dead?
She is not aware she's dead, she said, but somebody hurt her very bad.
Oh, jeez.
She said, somebody hurt me very badly. Now, well, I'm telling you this, but you're going to realize that when Nicole did this, she did it as multiple choice questions. She didn't just say, are you in the basement? She would say, are you buried in the backyard? No. Are you buried across the street? No. Are you buried in the freezer? No. Are you buried here? Yes. So it was multiple choice questions to get the answers. And now, this is something that absolutely amazes me. Nicole asked, can you see us? And she said, yes. And she said, what do we look like? Do we look like people? And it said, no. She asked, do we look like clouds, like ghosts? She said, no. And she said, do we look like balls of glowing light? And she said, yes.
Whoa. I never thought about it from that perspective. But, that's something to think about.
Dude, it's mind-blowing. It's totally mind-blowing. I had it. And this frustrated me to a point about a year ago that I almost quit this field, that I had a clear EVP saying, I can hear you, I can't see you. Also from a young girl's voice, and I could never get it off the recorder. It was almost enough to make me quit the field. So
you couldn't extract it off the recorder?
No, I could listen to it on the recorder, but when I plugged it in, it showed zero files.
Oh, my.
which has never happened before, and that recorder works just fine any other time. I couldn't get it.
I know the feeling. We've had cases where we've had strange malfunctions of our gear that we just could not explain. And, you know, highly reliable, you know, stuff that I've had for years. And you get out and it's just, what's going on with this? But that's a new one for me to have it say that it's not there and yet you've got it, you know.
That's
not normal. Yeah.
So, you know, that's some things we have. And again, I really encourage everybody to go to, like I said, the hauntedbismanbuilding.com site or the Gus at Hunters Paranormal. And because there is a picture, a very recent picture of Ruthie stood on the second floor. We actually caught her as a video, but we caught her standing in there in her little Victorian dress with a bow in her hair and her little white shoes. Actually got a picture of her there. So the situation is now we have, you know, and it's happened before. It's happened, but it's very rare. You know, I called the police department, would you believe, and they thought I was nuts, first of all. Right.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, right. And I said, okay, you're going to think I'm nuts and you want to come and arrest me, but well, there could be a person buried in the basement. You know, there could be this, and this. And, of course, they say, well, how do you know? And I say, well, we heard it from a ghost. And then it's silence. I mean, is this a prank and they're trying to track my number? But finally we got through to them that it wasn't a prank and it was real. And we got them video evidence. And it's actually starting to balloon. We've got the Ohio Historical Society involved. And for them to do private investigations is very difficult because it's such a big organization.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of local universities around the area that are willing to bring in the archaeological team to do a scan of the basement.
Yeah, you're doing ground penetrating radar or something like that.
Yeah, that's it. To see if there's a skeleton or anything there. And if there is, the police department will then come in and dig it up. So there's a massive buzz around Central Ohio on this Bisman building. It's going nuts.
It's odd you would say this because the property I live on, we are actually on top of an old gold mining claim here, and we know there are bodies buried on the property. What happened out here in the West is when people would die, they just sort of threw, you know, cemeteries wherever they wanted, or they'd plant them where they dropped. You know, it was right out back of the house they put them. We have found what we believe is the grave of a woman who we think may have been murdered because that's what she's told us on our recorder here on our property. And my mother is a sensitive and very good at it. And I've got a little bit of ability, but I focus more on the technical side. We both had run-ins with this woman over the last 30 years on this property. And it's the same thing. We really wrestled with that whole question of what do we do about this? And, you know, we're going to just basically mark the location where she's told us where she is. We even have an EVP saying, you're standing right over me at this one particular spot. So we've got it marked, and we're going to do some work with that. But we're trying to get a name out of her. We've been able to piece together some of the story, but we're doing exactly what you're doing. I mean, and the thing is you just get so personally involved, you know. I mean, are you getting drawn into it? It's like tugging at your heart, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. This is where we got to be careful.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like I said, we're tour guides of this building, so we do tours only 2-3 times a month, and we have paranormal groups come through, and you know, just regular groups. But the thing is, you know, I've always been taught and always been trained, you cannot get too attached in case it's not what it appears to be.
Yes.
You see what I mean? Because now there's nothing demonic, there's nothing satanic in this building at all. We already, know, figure that one out from all the time. But you've got to be careful, because if you start getting too attached to what you think, you think you're thinking, oh my goodness, an 8-year-old girl's been murdered and raped and all this, but then you're thinking, well, she would be dead now if she lived anyhow. And that's how I put my spin on it. You see what I mean?
Because
this was over 100 years ago. It was actually 99 years ago she died. So I've got to put the spin on it to basically get myself back on ground level so I don't get too attached. Because I tell you what, Ruthie is becoming a bit of a celebrity in Mansfield, Ohio. I mean, not even there, all over. Everybody talks about her, you know, and but what do you do? You know, I personally try to keep a level head and not get attached, even though I must admit at the beginning I was, and I really had to pull away from that. I couldn't let that happen.
Well, it's funny, as we were having the problem here, what we're on, the ranch we're on is an azalea and rhododendron ranch, and we've got the climate for it, so we have these, you know, we grow these very specialized flowers, and they're just amazing. But we have a number of buildings here on the property, and what was happening when we would do some of this work, these spirits would actually follow us into the house, and it got to be a bit of a problem, and I finally had to put my foot down here in my little place that I'm on, and just kind of said, no more of that. So I know what you're talking about. I mean, they kind of will do that. They'll attach to you, and I've had my own worries about some similar thinking as to what if this is not who they say they are. But I know what you're saying. Don't get so involved in it, and yet at the same time, you know, there is that little bit of you that really wants to know the story, you know, and try to at least validate what happened here, you know.
Right.
I mean, are you prepared for what will happen if you do find her body?
Well, we've already sat down with the owner of the building, and because a couple of scenarios that could happen is if there's a body in the building, we've already all agreed we need to exhume her, give her a real burial. Now, if that happens, she's probably going to leave the building because then she'll be at rest. So we lose our main girl, Ruthie. You know, we're then probably going to lose Annabella, because Annabella's job is to protect this little girl in the spirit life, whatever life they're living. So she'll probably go. Now, that still leaves us what we call the Watchman, which actually I caught a beautiful photograph of him a couple of days ago, send it off to a couple of people that I know. So there are other spirits there, but our main lady will probably be gone. So we've already decided, we think, you know, just humanity reasons, if she's there, we should dig her up. You know, it will be done professionally, and it will be done by the police department, of course. But, I think she needs to be put to rest.
Well, you know, I've come to the conclusion. When I first started this, I looked at it, and it was kind of a thing of when you develop these relationships, it's hard to let go of them, but, you know, they are dead. And helping them get to where they go, and it just opens up new possibilities for you. You know, you've done that, you've done your thing there. And think about it, when you get to the other side yourself, you know, think of who's going to be, you know, if you help all these people out, when you get to the other side, you're going to have a hell of a party, my friend. They're going to be all like, thanks so much, God, that was so cool what you did for me.
Yeah, right. Well, like I tell other people, when I die, I'll probably go end up haunting the basement building myself. I'm there so much. It gives me such a headache. You know.
I work in aerospace, and I plan on just haunting our fire control room out where we fire some very large solid rocket motors. I would like to just walk around and scare the hell out of the test area guys, so I might just stay around for a while just to do that. Just to get a yuck out of it before I cross myself over, because I'll know enough to go to a funeral home and catch a ride with somebody else's light, you know.
Yeah. Well,
of course, I would want to haunt it. You know what? I would, if I was a spirit, there's one thing I would do. I would definitely go be a fly on the wall in the White House, just because. You know, and then not only that, I could hang out with Lincoln for a little while and go, really, what was it like, man? I'm sorry.
But no, what we're planning on doing, because in Ohio, well, it sounds like you got snow too. So I'm not sure what part of California you're in.
We're in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada range. So I'm at an altitude of about 1,500 feet, and we're at the very edge of the snow line. So we get it; it comes and goes. It pretty much melted off, but there are times when we get it a foot deep here, sometimes 2 feet.
In Ohio, where you expect that. It really hasn't been too bad. I mean, it's been a little bit rainy last couple of days, a little bit chilly, but it's really not too bad. You know, I was quite surprised. I heard you say you had snow, you know, because some of the other investigations I've done as part of the Gusset Hunt, it's just me and Nicole, like I say, I came out to San Diego. I was invited out there to come do some of the sites and places down there, you know, like
yeah.
Wiley House and couple of the boats and stuff like that. So that was a pretty good trip. I quite like it out your way.
We love it out here, but I'll tell you what, California has every climate you can imagine, from Arctic to absolutely baking hot.
Right.
And but down where you were at, I've been down there a few times, San Diego way, and that is really nice down there. So yeah, you had it made. Which I'd love to hit Whaley House. I mean, did you get anything when you were there, when you were at Whaley?
See, that's the funny thing. I've had some people get upset with me on other radio shows talking about this, but it's supposed to be like the most haunted building in America, so I hear, and I caught nothing. and part of the reason was, I'm not sure, have you ever been there? Or if anybody listening has ever been there, they'll realize across the street it's a line of bars. So these people are jamming loud music into like 3 o'clock in the morning. It's really loud, obnoxious. You know, it's really sort of like party time. And you
really can't
get the quiet time in the building like you usually probably need. Now, people say they see things all the time. And, you know, again, we get a lot of evidence, but I didn't get anything from there. So we'll just put that one down to a nice road trip.
I know what you're saying.
You know.
Yeah, it's just you just can't get just some places. Some investigations are just really tough. That's what happened to us on the first investigation to the Truckee Hotel. There was a huge Halloween party going on right when we were starting pre-investigation work, and we did get some evidence, but a lot of it was just basically a wash. You know, you just have to throw it out and say, well, it's going to be hard to get through this. But I mean, again, your style with the way you limit, you know, the number of people and all that, and I guess the sites you pick, you know, it's good quality stuff what you get. But that's good to know, because I had wanted to hunt there, and now I'm thinking about it.
And no, I don't want anybody trying to sue me or get me in trouble for that, because we have enough issues in Ohio, let alone anything else. But, you know, I don't know what it is. Maybe because I have just, in England it's called the bottle, I have the nerve just to go up and ask. But all of a sudden, in the last year and a half, we've been doing some very historical places. And people have actually got to the point now where they're calling us to come see what they have. Like I said, we're going to go do the Argonne Hotel, which is a very famous hotel. John Wayne stayed there. So some of the presidents have stayed there. It's in Lima, Ohio. I'm doing that, like I said, with Shelley Mooney and her dad. And we've done Thomas Edison's house. That was pretty good when we did Edison's house. What happened there was nothing to do with Thomas Edison. We think it was probably one of the servants.
Well,
we think we caught something involving a servant in the backyard. It looked like they were picking, in the garden, like working in the garden.
Yeah.
It was quite strange. We did the whole Thomas Edison house. We were up and down all over, did all the stuff. Just the basic knocks and bangs, nothing too fancy. And here's another thing that we pride ourselves in. We debunk almost everything. It's got to be really good to make it, you know.
Agree with that, totally.
Sometimes I put some posts and pictures that I think, hey, I've tried to debunk this, and three or four people come back and say, this is this, something, you know, and so I take it off because I don't need stuff on there that's not good. But, yeah, we saw what seemed to be a person pulling, things out of the garden. So that was pretty good at Thomas Edison's house. we did Tecumseh Sherman's house for all the Civil War fans. And Tecumseh Sherman being obviously one of the generals. And we got the pipe tobacco filling the room and his chair rocking. So that was nice, too.
Oh, so you actually had the phantom smell phenomena.
Yeah.
That is the weirdest thing when that happens. I finally had it happen this year on the USS Hornet. And we tried something we'd never done before. We play-acted. I actually played like I was a doctor in the sick bay treating a patient, and I said I needed supplies. And what ended up happening was within about a minute, everybody who was in the room with me, we all smelled the strong smell of that old-fashioned, the old-style antiseptic, like chloroseptic, I think they called it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just came in waves, and then it just was here, and then it was just gone. And we were just stunned. I've been doing this for, you know, several years now, and never had that happen. So it was really a treat to see that. But, you know, from the looks of me, I'm looking at, for the show notes here, you know, with the stuff you sent me, you've got quite a roster of these sites you've been to. So have you had a lot of pretty much kind of run the gamut of different experiences with this kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah, we've had just, I would say, almost a little bit of everything. Good example is this last Saturday just gone, pipe tobacco at the Bispham Building. We had a gentleman there. He had that real strong pipe tobacco. I was a foot away. I couldn't smell it. We've been in a graveyard where Nicole smelled beer so strong, a foot away, I couldn't smell it. You know, just like you say, the whole gamut, it just amazes me. We've been to the site of the Mothman, you know, the famous Low Hotel in Point Pleasant where the Silver Bridge collapsed, and just all those sort of places. And we've had some of my favorites I really enjoy is footsteps. I love hearing the footsteps walking around. I don't know what it is. We had them this last weekend. I got it on recordings, you know, people just walking around. We're in a freezer. Well, actually, where we think Ruth is buried, and we're in there, pitch dark, and we hear three or four people walking around in the hallway, you know, outside the door, and this in the basement. So I radio Nicole. I said, are you down here with us? She goes, no, we're like three floors up. So, you know what I mean? I love footsteps. Footsteps is by far my favorite. We got the opportunity. Oh, I just got an email here. Where I'm going tomorrow, and I did not know this, was used by John Dillinger and Al Capone. And I didn't know that. The Argonne. So I'll get to do that tomorrow.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's cool. I love mystery stuff like that. So we'll see what happens. Ohio Wesleyan University in Delaware, Ohio. There's a book out called The Ghost of Stuyvesant Hall. And the guy that wrote the book invited us out to do an investigation in Stuyvesant Hall at Wesleyan University, Ohio Wesleyan.
Yeah.
I'd say about 3 o'clock in the morning. We're in this big old school building, 3 stories high. Everything's wooden. It's rickety. It makes one heck of a noise. And we're sitting there, and all of a sudden we start hearing, like, classes letting out. And again, if you want, you please drop me an email to remind me, and I will send you all these EVPs that I'm talking about. I've got just tons of them. And it sounds like class was letting out. You can hear people talking, doors are slamming, footsteps, bum, 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 bum. And it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, we're stood at the bottom of this flight of stairs. We can't see the classroom doors. And it was one of the most amazing experiences I have, and I'll tell you one of Nicole's in a minute. of something.
That's weird. It sounds like a residual almost.
It is residual because it played itself over three times throughout a nine-hour period. So they was that every 3 hours or so, three, 4 hours, it would play itself over, and it was almost the same. But here's the thing that got me. All the doors are slamming, all the noise. We stood at the bottom of the stairs, and you heard the footsteps come down the stairs. It came down, I think, six steps down. One, two, three, four, five, six. It stopped in front of it. We couldn't see it. We heard it, and it was gone. And it just, like, shut off like somebody turned off a recording. And it did
it.
That's weird. And I have it, and I have it all. That was by far one of the better, sounds. And it's definitely residual, definitely, because it just kept playing. It would play and play and play. Now, Nicole's favorite one was at a hotel. We used to do tours at another place in Marysville, Ohio, where she witnessed a full-body apparition about 2 feet in front of her of looked like a servant in a servant's dress with her arms out to the side. And she caught it in the flash of my camera when I was taking a photograph the other way. So she would say that's her favorite. So, yeah. All across the board, from smells to touching, cold spots, just about everything, really.
Have you had the experience of having the door? You ever got in a battle with opening a door with someone?
Yeah. That was actually very recently in a not super battle, but I know what you mean, like a resistance. You know, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I haven't had the old two hands on it. Giving it the good old tug, but I've actually gone for a door handle to open a door, and it's just like, whoa. You know, it just holds for a second, and then it goes. I've never had it really, really good, though.
We had it in Virginia City. We hunted there this May, and I went to open the back door to what's called the Miner's Cabin at the Gold Hill Hotel, and there were 40 guys killed in a mine explosion back in the 1850s. Down out there, and they're really a kind of a rough and tumble bunch of ghosts. I mean, but they've got a kind of a sense of humor. If you bring them drinks, and that's how we do it in the West, we actually take our ghosts whiskey.
Oh.
And so I took whiskey to them, and they liked me for that. So, but they were playing pranks, and I opened the door, and I felt just kind of like you had the resistance, but this guy kept pulling the door back, and then we got the tug of war for a good 20 seconds. And I was going, dude, I just want to get in, and all of a sudden he let go. And I was laughing at it, going, that's funny, but it definitely went into the evidence pile. It was just a personal experience, but wow, you know, to have that happen, you just go, that's one of my very favorites. I mean, it's just, you know, that sticks in your mind. It might not be the most amazing thing you've seen, but it just was such a personal thing, you know.
I like the actual physical interaction, and I wish, you know, when we do our tours, a lot of people do have physical interaction, hair pulls, you know, that sort of stuff, but actually to have a hand, and you can almost feel the fingers placed on your back, and that was Halloween night this year, because we were ushering people in through the front door of the building. It's a big gothic-y looking building at the basement, and so square on my back. And I thought it was somebody in the tour. You know, I had a question, so I turned around, and there was nobody around.
You've developed that trust with them, and they're probably just saying, "Hey, buddy, I'm with you," you know, kind of thing. Do you feel something like that?
Probably, because there's another thing, and you discussed it earlier about attachments to objects and people. You know, if people steal stuff, sometimes that can be a problem. And I didn't steal anything from the Bisman building. I, you know, was offered to take something, and I took it, and I felt like it could have been an attachment. And when I took that back recently, it was a whole different feeling. It seemed so much happier, so much lighter, so much friendlier. You know, not as if I promise you, I didn't steal anything. It was actually an old label from a can from the 1920s.
Yeah, but
and,
you know, it was a gesture on your part showing respect, and they, I bet you anything, they just looked and went, "Yeah, this guy's got it right."
Right.
You know. Yeah.
And, you know, well, here's another thing about the building, if you want to know real quick. The Bisman building, I keep talking about it, and people really don't know what that is, but more people will know it than they think, because it was featured in the Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, that's, I know that building.
It's the building.
Red was here and all that.
That's it, yeah, the halfway house, when Red and Brooks get out of jail, and they have to go to the halfway house. It's the Brewer Hotel. The Brewer Hotel is actually the Bisman building in Mansfield, Ohio. And that's the building. When you see that, you look at the pictures on the website, and you watch the movie, that's the building they use.
Wow.
And
it's a stone building, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. It's a Gothic-looking building. Even the actors, some of the actors from the movie witness things during the filming in the building. They also had a brand new movie for horror buffs, and it's funny, I can't watch horror films, scare me to death, but it's called The Dead... No, serious. I can have a ghost a foot in front of my face looking in my eyes, and I'm fine, but I can't watch horror movies.
That's kind of funny. I like that.
Well, it's true. It's not made up. Like I say, the Dead Matter. There's a brand new movie coming out this year called The Dead Matter. It's a remake of a 1970s vampire movie, and a majority of that movie was also filmed in the Bisman Building. But even members from the Shawshank Redemption, also inside there, there's a room in there. If you recall the movie and when they bust the prison chief for being a crook. And it's done at the Portland Daily Bugle, is the name of the newspaper office. That is actually also in the Bisman Building. And it's exactly the same as when they left it, because most of these movie props have just been left. It's just left in there. But actors from both movies have been startled or scared by entities that show themselves while filming. The director of The Dead Matter got pushed up the stairs on numerous occasions, and that's something that happens to a lot of people. A lot of people get pushed upstairs. They don't get pushed down, and they get pushed up. So,
have you been able to isolate who would be doing the pushing?
We think it's either Ruthie, because she does not like being on the third floor. She's very scared of the third floor because that's where she got hurt. She doesn't like the third floor, and that's where bad things happen on the third floor. And anybody that visits the building will tell you the third floor, it's like it has a completely different atmosphere than any other floor. It's very, very eerie. And lots of things happen up there. So she doesn't like it. So she'll go from second and try to run upstairs and, we think, push people up the stairs. That's an example. When we did the sessions with Eyes of the Paranormal and Midnight Shadows Paranormal, both pros family members, they came up with there's 8 spirits that live in the building and 28 that visit. And that's all we got back. I'm still trying to figure out, basically what's going on, but that's what they say. So who knows who's pushing us upstairs? But the actors from the movie actually got to a point where a couple of them, one of them's a soap star. I don't even know soap stars. But he got upset and said, hey, this is a closed set. I'm not doing it when people are watching, because there was a man watching from the other end of the building. Unfortunately, it was a closed set. There wasn't anybody there.
So he was seeing an apparition and didn't realize it.
Yeah. And they've had actually people that were filming Dead Matter that actually didn't want to go back in the building. Because what they did was they built an entire apartment on the third floor. You know, it's a movie. They rented the building, so they built an apartment. Well, spirits don't like, as you know,
yes,
don't
I
like change,
this.
Remodeling. And when you remodel, they don't like it, and they obviously didn't like it.
So they've come to accept it now. I'm sure things have settled down a bit, but here you are now doing this next big thing with working to help the, you know, Ruthie there in the facility and all that. So I'll tell you what, we want to stay in touch with you on this to see how it goes. I mean, I'm excited for what's going to happen next.
Well, keep an eye on YouTube. Keep an eye on the Haunted Bisman Building page. And, yeah, I would willingly come back and do this. I mean, like I said, I'm in Ohio, so I had to take a couple of Red Bulls and take a nap so I can talk to you guys.
I'm sure appreciate it, Ellis. Well, hey, you know, it sounds like we're real similar type groups. I totally like the way you hunt and the way you investigate. It's real complementary to some of the things we do. And you've had 27 years of doing this. We didn't get into that, but I would really hope we could get you back on the show with some of the EVPs and play through some of those. And because I really think that would be really, really something that people would want to hear.
Yeah, we got some classic ones. And like I said, if you want to go to the MySpace and go to either Haunted Bisman Building or Gusset Hunters, GUSSETHUNTERS, Gusset Hunters Paranormal, and just drop me a line, you know what I mean? And I can send this stuff out to individuals if they want to hear that some of this stuff. But, yeah, definitely, I can send them to you. We can do another one if you're up for it sometime.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we could do a special show on one of these Sundays coming up in December. You know, I'm more than willing to make a little time and probably do it at a little better hour for you.
Okay.
And kind of go through that. I would be very pleased to do that. So yeah, I'll tell you what, we'll get that all set up and do a show. I'm all for it because I'd love to hear some of this. I just had no idea that this building that you're talking about was that from the Shawshank. So I'm trying. Matter of fact, a good friend of mine, Christine B., she's a pretty well-known psychic out here. She's living out in Ohio, and I'm because of my work in aerospace, I'm going to be flying out to see the last space shuttle launch next year, and I hope to take a dip and a hop out into Ohio on the way on the way back. And who knows, I might be able to come out and see the business building and say hi to you. So,
hey, you guys are welcome, man, because we get so many paranormal groups come through. It's fantastic. It's really taken off, man. And if you and the young lady want to come, that's excellent.
Okay. Well, with that, we're looking at 3 minutes until the end of the show. So, you know, Ellis, we definitely thank you for being on with us. We'll set up some time in the coming week or two, get our schedules all figured out. And, hey, thank you for coming on with us. It was a great show.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me.
Okay, now don't drink any more Red Bulls and get some sleep.
There you go.
Okay, my friend. Well, God bless. Good night. And with that, we had a couple of my very dear friends. Sharon over at Journey Paranormal is still in the chat room listening, and I've got my good friend Karen, who is out in Phoenix, Arizona, and she is she just said she enjoyed the show, and she also said she'd like to go there too to Ohio. Well, hey, if you ever want to do, who knows, maybe we do a road trip. Now, GRI Mustang or something. I'm up for that, too. So with that said, and let's see. Oh, I forgot to thank my friend Caspers, Frank. I hope he feels better. He's out in Arizona also. Real nice guy, and he's getting over an illness. I think he had diabetes or something, so we hope he's going to get better. So thank you, Frank, if you listen to this on the archive show. And my dear friend Kathy over in the eastern part of the United States. She always pops in on our shows to say hello. So with that, we're going to wind it down, and we will have next week, we're going to have Siobhan O'Connor Moran, and she's not quite into paranormal, but some things there that overlap. So we'll make it a surprise, but it's going to be a great show. So with that said, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. We'll be signing off, and we'll be seeing you next week from a haunted location, believe it or not. It will be a very special show. And with that, we're going to go ahead and play a little bit of, let me find something good that we can play. Here we go. Let it run. Let this thing run out. And, oops, nope, that's the end of it. So I'll tell you what, we're going to go ahead and just play Ghost Riders in the Sky and let that run through.